Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. God is so good. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And this is your host, once again, Elder QT Docs, coming to you today for Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Amen. We're going to be talking about love. Love is what God has sacrificed his son for and what God has given us. And for us to love ourselves and to love others. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you today, dear Lord, for this Thursday Thirst for Truth. We thank you for the message that's going to be given today, dear Lord, Lord, because love conquers all. Love proceeds all that the hate that is before us. To God, we thank you for the listening audience. God, we ask you to bless each and every one that's on the line that's listening to this word, and hoping that they will receive and share the love of God's message to someone else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God is just so good. Today is a wonderful, beautiful day today. God is love. In 1 John 4:8, it says that the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in John 4:16, it says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in love. This is a massive claim to all of us. And we will have to know that love conquers all. But it seems like the deepest starting place I can think of for a message like this is love. God is love. In a word, I think it means something like God, absolute fullness of love and truth and beauty and goodness and all other perfection, is such that he, God, is not only self-sufficient, but also in his very nature, overflowing. God is so absolute. He's so perfect. He's so complete. He's so full, so inexhaustibly resourceful. God is so joyful that he is by nature a giver, a worker for others, a helper, a protector. God is love. What it means to be God is to be full enough always to overflow and never need, never murmur, never pout. God is love and overflowing with it. God is just so good. Like loving God, loving each other is like loving God. That's why we should love one another. They talk about one of the lawyers asked Jesus, he said, in Matthew 26, he said, teacher, said, which is the greatest command in the law? In other words, tell us what is the most important commandment of all the hundreds of Old Testament commandments. Jesus answered, you shall love the Lord and God with all your hearts, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. But then the lawyer got more than what he bargained for, because Jesus went on to say, he said, the second is, say, you shall love your neighbor as thyself, as yourself. The second reason for his series, Jesus hit him with that because he knew where this lawyer was trying to go, and Jesus hit him with that. The two commandments are inseparable. And that's what we need to understand. It says, you know, love, you should love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, and then with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great and foremost commandment. Then the second one says, the second is, it says, you should love your neighbor as yourself. It's these two go hand in hand. They're inseparable. Amen. We're talking about the love of God. God is love. You know, the great commandment is, love God with all you are. The commandment to love your neighbor is like it. It's like the same. Fulfill love of neighbors. Fulfill the law that God has commanded us to do. And we talk about Matthew 22:40. Jesus says, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophet. Everything else hangs on these commandments of love. Whatever else there is in Christian faith and in life of obedience, it all hangs on this. But even more amazing is that Paul says in Romans 13:8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Amen. See, you should not commit adultery. You should not murder. You should not steal. You should not covet. And if there is any other commandments, it is summed up in this saying, say, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of law, of the law. Here, Paul is really to say that love of the of neighbor is a fulfilling of the law. He doesn't mention loving God. We need to ask ourselves why. But the point is, what he said is, if you love your neighbors as you love yourself, you're fulfilling God's commandments, because God is the one that was telling you to do so. So if you love your neighbors as you love yourself, God is going to, you're loving God. You're loving God because he's the one that put out these commandments. And we need to express our love through our faith, through the things that we do and say. In Galatians 5 and 6, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. What this verse means is that love is the way faith expresses itself and proves in life that it is real. Without love, faith is dead. This is what James meant when he wrote, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So the work of love are the evidence of living faith. Amen. Without them, a church is dead and a heart is dead. Amen. Here's the way John put it in John 3 and 14. We know that we have passed out of love into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Where love is absent, faith is dead. And we are dead, no matter whatever else is happening. So without love, you have no love. You're dead. You're dead to Christ. You're dead to yourself. Amen. Brother Day once said that he can't speak without mentioning love. See, love is just part of his little curriculum, his rep report, so to speak. And Brother Day speaks on Tuesday at 5, every Tuesday. And he talks about that. And while I'm talking about love has its place, and its place is our being here on earth. We must love. We must love. Love conquers all. Amen. You know, it's like a badge of Christianity, having love in your heart. It's like wearing that badge on your chest. In John 13 and 4 and 34, and Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know, he's telling them that by your love, and he continued to say, all men will know that you are my disciple. See, by you showing love to each and every one you come across, they will know that you are God's disciple. You have God in you. If you have love for one another, you know, I personally like it when people put, you know, the symbols on their cars and wear crosses and put on like hope in God and signs in our, you know, signs in the windows and things of that nature. But if you ask Jesus, what is the mark of a Christian that will set them off and help the world know that they are your disciples? His answer will probably be is by this all men will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. So you can have all those signs, you can have all those decals, you can have all your words, expression, but if you don't have love for your fellow man, it means nothing. Love for each other in the church is a badge of Christianity. We need that love. We say we have love, but do we show it? In the book of Acts, Luke, it's eager to show that one of the first effects of salvation and community life in Christian is practical. Because they say, costly care for one another. You must care for one another. That's in Luke. In Acts, it says, Acts 2 and 45 says, they begin selling their properties and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. In other words, meeting needs in the church was more important than personal possessions. This is very God-like. Because he is so full and content that he is by nature love. God is love. Giving, caring, helping, supporting, protecting. Love among Christians is the mark of Christ in the church. By this will all men know that you are my disciples. And God is telling us, because we are agents of God, we are his disciples, that if we don't have love for one another, we're not his disciples. We're perpetrating. We're not doing what God is mandating for us to do. His instruction is for us to love. In 1 Timothy 1:5, it says, Paul tells us what he aims at all his teaching. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith in all his teaching. And all his late night instruction, he says that in all his studies, with books and with the parchment, the aim was love, 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 love. Love is what it's all about. Yes, from a pure heart. And yes, from sincere, from faith in Christ. But still, the aim of it all was a loving church. And that means the aim of all my saying and aim of all my studies and reading of discussion must be love. That's what Timothy is basically saying. Amen. We're talking about the glacier of love, the coldness and hate of love. In Matthew 24:9-12, it says Jesus gave a description of what the last time would be like. He described them in the terms of hate and love. And then in it, it says, they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name, on Jesus' name. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. So there will be hatred from the outside and hatred on the inside of the church. Amen. Ain't that something? And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people love will grow cold. So it feels to me like there is a kind of end time urgency in this series of the message I'm talking about. Hate will multiply from the outside against the church, and hate will increase inside the church as one betrays another to the authority, and love everywhere will grow cold. That's the truth. Everywhere will grow cold because of the hate and without love. And this is what we're seeing today in society, in this political climate around the world. We've seen hate and less love. And that's what's causing the turmoil. That's what's causing this urgency that I'm talking about of having love. So if we follow God's command and love one another, we can stop this snowball effect of hate. Now, with all my heart, I believe this dire prediction does not have to be our destiny or the destiny of the church or the destiny of our cities and the world as a whole. That is going to be true far and wide does not mean that we can't do anything about it, because love is within us. Love is not a particular person or church, but love is you and me. But if it is not to be, we must know the forces against us. What is fighting against us? It will be like a spiritual glacier moving over the world and the church. Love will survive and thrive where we consciously torch the glaciers, where we constantly heat up their glaciers and melt the power of love. But with the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, with a view to loving each other rather than hating each other, it will be an uphill battle, no doubt, against many forces. But God will overcome it all. God will conquer all, because God will not allow that glacier to stay cold. He will hold a torch to that glacier and melt the hate so we can begin to love again. We need to show the world another way to relate. This hate is not going to do it. Our nation is permeated with a spirit of varying degrees of hate, and record and means of spiritness. We don't, this, our nation is seen to convey that, and we portray that. I mean, it ranges from the Nazi-like skinheads declaring open hate for Jews and non-whites, to children killing their parents, to gangs dealing almost entirely in a tone and atmosphere of anger. We're talking about different groups, political groups, talking about hate among minorities. We're talking about, you know, race against race. We're talking about all the political climate and all the society ills that's happening today. We see it because of what? Because their love is not there. And we need to capitalize on what we see and what we have on the inside of us. Because the people unseemingly have that love for cutting and cleverness. And just like the politicians who know that the soundbite that they use to stir up trouble, we should stand up and proclaim to them that it is not enough for you to do what you do, because we're not going to allow you to bring hate into our community, bring hate into our churches, bring hate into our household. We're going to stand up, because in my house, we're going to serve God. Me and my house, amen. I mean, we need to talk about, we need to relate to this fact of love. Amen. Which more and more brings to mind the word of the scripture in 2 Timothy. It says, but realize that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, rivalers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossip, without self-control, brutal, hater of goods, treachery, reckless, conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to form of godliness, although they have denied it, its power, and avoid such men as these. The Bible is telling us, do you see the word that grips me more than any other? It's a word that revilers. The words like ungrateful, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, haters of good. It's very contemporary. Our nation is in desperate need of another way to relate to humanity. You know, I would like to encourage as many of you as possible to read two articles. I know it's hard to find, but you can Google it in Christianity Today magazine. It's dated March 6th. It says in one end by John Woodbridge of Trinity Seminary. It's called Cultural War Casualty, How Warfare Rhetoric is Hurting the Work of the Church. This was a very convicting essay for me to read. It came as a strong affirmation from the Lord that this series of messages talking about love is for this time, this end type of time. It raises the question of how Christians can show the whole biblical Christ to the world when an aspect of our Christian morality has become a politicized that we tend to relate to the world almost entirely around issues, the abortions, like abortions, homosexuality, and therefore in a very combative atmosphere, because the emotions run so high, when you are talking, for example, about taking of the life of an unborn and whether homosexual people may promote their practice in public school, and so we become defined in terms of issues that are volatile. And these so-called cultural wars are fast becoming more like war and less like culture and real bullets and now just hard words. I just read something today where it says that the white evangelicals made a statement to Trump. They stated that we are not going to fall for your tricks anymore. We're not going to be used for your tricks anymore. These are the white evangelicals making a statement, saying we're not going to be used by you anymore. However, I read another article where the African evangelical says we're going to support Trump because he seems to hold truth to our religious belief. Come on. Listen to the two contrasts. First, one was against one. One was on side of one, then one that against one. Now one that supposedly was against, now he's for. Now they're for. It's our society is just up and down because they don't have the love. Because if you have love in your heart, politics is not, it's not a religious point of view. Politics is politics. And we're using religion to sway and to win votes and to gain popularity among issues, which it shouldn't be. Because if you love one another and if you love yourself, you're going to abide by the law of God. And you're not going to put up with the lies, you know, and the deceitfulness that's going on in society. The other article, and I would love for you to read, even if you get a chance, if you get a chance to, even more than that one, is a reprint of Francis Schaeffer, The Mark of a Christian. Also in this same issue of Christian Today from last week, Schaeffer's challenge was even more convicting to me than Woodbridge. The burden of his article was how Christians can disagree when they must disagree with visible manifest love. He posed a question that comes as close as anything to setting the agenda that I think we are called to in this year, in this period of love today. And here's what he said briefly. He says, we have conferences about everything else. We have every who has ever heard of a conference to consider how true Christians can exhibit and practice a fidelity to the holiness of God and yet simultaneously exhibit and practice a fidelity to the love of God before a watching world. Whoever heard of sermons or writing that carefully present the practice of two principles that at first seem to work against each other? The principle of the practice of the purity of the visible church in regard to doctrine and life, or the principle of the practice of an observable love and oneness among all Christians. And that's something we don't have among all Christians. We don't have that love, that corporate unity that can conquer, that can fight against hate, that can fight against systematic racism, that can fight against prejudice and bigotry. We don't have that kind of corporate love. You know, this is what I am struggling with, and I dig into it and I grow in when it comes to love. I want us to have and to be a word and to get a, and to receive a word from God that our nation concerning how disagreeing groups, we must love each other. I certainly do not have all the answers. I know I don't have all the answers, especially in the particular, in this politically loaded atmosphere of the culture war of our society today. But together, I think God will guide us and grow us and humble us and make us strong with a kind strength that combines the holiness and love of God in a new way that we have not known before. So So I think if we just continue to love, true love of one another, and we continue to pray with that love, with that fervency that we have, a change is going to come. A change is going to come. We're going to have that golden opportunity of love. Inside the church, we have differences. However, that calls for a deep and real relentless love towards one another. Amen. The mark of a Christian, by Schaeffer, said that this is our golden moment. It is in this midst of differences that we have our golden opportunity. When everything is going well, and when we are all standing around a nice little circle, there is not much to be seen by the world. But when we come to the place where there is a real difference and we exhibit uncompromising principles, but at the same time observable love, then there is something that the world can see. Amen. Something they can use to judge that these really are Christians and Jesus has indeed been sent by the Father. That's in us. We're talking about this golden opportunity. If we can come together as one, all colors, all nationality, all race, just, we can come together and fight against this racism and fight against this systematic system of our bigotry and prejudice and hate. If we can come and show society and show the world, show the country that we do stand together in spite of our differences, we still have love for one another. We can change what's out there. We can change things. We can see the difference in which we will be. We will see a difference if all of us get out there and do our part on November 3rd also. Show that we love. And our love is going to make a change, not for not only ourselves, but for one another, for all of us. Amen. God is just so good. I'm not going to keep you much longer. And the difference in the way we judge the loss, it just irks me sometimes, you know, to see so much going on. And we must, brothers and sisters, we must come together. We might have our differences, but we must come together in love. Because if I love you like you love me, that will make a world of a difference. That can bring changes. That can bring changes. Amen. If we can find the difference in our worship, then what kind of music we play, what kind of instrument, what kind of singing, what kind of atmosphere that we create, we can bring the changes in our society. We can bring the changes in the world. Amen. God is just so good. I just want to thank you, brothers and sisters, because you gave me an opportunity to speak. I was having some difficulty earlier, but I just want to get this love thing out. You know, love is just so wonderful. Love conquers love. But we must first love ourselves. We can't love ourselves. We can't love one another. We must grow in love. We must grow in love. And I just want to express to everyone this week, next week, share some love, show some love, show some real love, true love, true love. And if you showing that love, if you sharing that love, you don't have to say a word. Others will see it on you. Others will start walking in the way you're walking. They will start raining out love. They will show it to others. It will be contagious. You talking about a pandemic? This will be a pandemic. Let it be a love pandemic. Instead of a COVID-19 pandemic, let it be a love pandemic. And that's what we need most. Because if not, society is going to, as they said, to hell in a basket. We don't need that. We don't need to follow that. We need love. And we don't have to struggle with it. If you love yourself, love others. If you hate yourself, it's going to show how you hate others. Amen. I just want to thank you again for being a part of this internet broadcast. Thank you again, and love each and every last one of you. And I pray that God continue to cover you with his blood. I continue to ask God to cover you, put his arms around you, show you the countenance that he shows to his son and to his children. And we are his children. And all we have to do is just follow his lead, follow what the fathers do, and we will do it also. I just want to continue to pray that God bless your family and keep your family safe and sound and secure. Keep your family just under the footsteps that he walks. I just want to thank each and every one of you and hope to see you next week. Hear from you next week. Be on the line next week, because there's message from every last one of the speakers that comes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And just be here, be there, because God has a message for you. If it's not for you, it's for someone else. And maybe you can share that message, and it might touch someone's heart. Amen. I want to thank you again for being present. And love each and every last one of you with the love of Christ. And let God continue to bless you and keep you. Amen. God is just so good.
I'm able to carry on. It's a long time coming, but I know.